Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Good morning, we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 84, Text 48. Tavidukula Balaye Paranupura Kundalai Spalankrita Bibibabo Dikshito Jina Samvrita Tabidukula Valaye Paranupura Kundalai Palankrita Bibibabo Dikshito Jina Samvrita Tabidukula Valaye Paranupura Kundalai Palankrita Bibibabo Dikshito Jina Samvrita Tabi, with them, Dukula, with silk saris, Valaye, and bangles, Hara, wearing necklaces, Dukura, temple bells, Kundalai, and earrings, Su, finally, Alankritabi, decorated. Vibhabo, he shone brilliantly. Dikshita, having been initiated. Ajina, by their skin. Samvrita, enwrapped. Translation, Vasudeva received initiation along with his wives who wore silk saris and were adorned with bangles, necklaces, ankle bells and earrings. With his body wrapped in a deerskin, Vasudeva shone splendidly. Text 49. Tasyat vijo maharaja ratna kusaya vasasa sa sadasya virejuste yata vrita hano vare. My dear Maharaj Purikit, Vasudeva's priests and the officiating members of the assembly, dressed in silk saris, or rather, dressed in silk dhotis and jeweled ornaments, looked so effulgent that they seemed to be standing in the sacrificial arena of Indra, the killer of Brita. Text 50. Padaramascha Krishnascha Spies Fe Bandubi Anvito Reja Tu Spa Sute Dare Jivasosva Vibhutibi. Translation. At that time, Balaram and Krishna, the lords of all living entities, shone forth with great majesty in the company of their respective sons, wives, and other family members, who were expansions of their opulences. Text 51. Idinu yagyam virina agnihotradi lakshanai. Prakrite vakrite yagye dravya jnana kriyeshwaram. Translation. Performing various kinds of Vedic sacrifice according to the proper regulations, Vasudeva worshipped the Lord of all sacrificial paraphernalia, mantras, and rituals, executed both primary and secondary sacrifices, offering oblations to the sacred fire, carrying out other aspects of sacrificial worship. Purport. There are numerous kinds of Vedic fire sacrifice, each of which involves several elaborate rituals. The Brahmana portion of the Vedic Shruti specifies the complete step-by-step procedure of only a few prototype sacrifices, such as the Jyoti Stoma and Dashapunamasa. These are called the Prakrita, or original yagyas. The details of other yagyas must be extrapolated from the patterns of these Prakrita injunctions according to the strict rules of the Mimamsa Shastra. Since other yagyas are thus known by derivation from the prototype sacrifices, they are called Vaikrita, or changed.
Abidukula valaye haranukura kundalai stalankrita bibibabo dikshito jina samvita.
Vasudeva received initiation along with his wife, who wore silk saris and were adorned with bangles, necklaces, ankle bells and earrings, and his body wrapped in a deer skin. Vasudeva shone splendidly. So this section we're hearing about everyone coming to Kurukshetra on the occasion of the solar eclipse. Apparently they stayed there a long time, what I can understand from reading this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, is that they were there for like 3 months. The Kurukshetra Krishna and the Yadavas had all come from Dwarka, which is a long way from Kurukshetra. If anyone's been to Kurukshetra or been to Dwarka, you know, I had the fortune of being to both places. So Kurukshetra is, you know, north of Delhi, about 4 hours or so by bus or train. And then in Dwarka, right on the other side of Gujarat, right on the point, on the other side of India. So they all came across from Dwarka to go to Kurukshetra. Of course, we know that all the inhabitants of Vrindavan taking advantage of and hearing about how Krishna was coming, Balaram was coming to Kurukshetra, and Kurukshetra being, you know, relatively not so far from Vrindavan as Dwarka is. So they took it and they came to Kurukshetra also. But here we see that the sages will, you know, there when you, even today when you go to Kurukshetra, there's many ashrams and you know, quite good ashrams, many of them, you know, brahmacharis are living there, and you see even today they. What is that big Brahmakund, isn't it? That big lake there, the Brahmakund Lake. And of course, there's the Jyotisa, the place where Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. You could go there. And actually, the area of Kurukshetra is a very large area, many square kilometres of area. You know, the armies were assembled, so the whole area is huge. And you can actually spend, if you want to spend days, and go to different areas where this happened and that happened and the other thing happened. And so many things like that. You know, the place where Karna was killed, and so many places you can go to. So, anyway, so many sages already Kurukshetra, Dharmakshetra, Kurukshetra, Samaveta, you know, there's that first verse of, from the Bhagavad Gita, where the Kurukshetra was Dharmakshetra, the place of the Dharma, the religious principle, religious practices, yeah, especially yajna performances from time immemorial. So, already, very holy place. And so, so you know, the Krishna, the Yadavas, all came from Dwarka, took advantage of going to the holy place to perform, you know, to participate in the yagyas. The solar eclipse, they're not auspicious. Lunar eclipse, solar eclipse, these types of things are not very auspicious. Rahu is coming and attacking the sun or the moon or something like that. So, a lunar eclipse. Wasn't at the time of Lord Chaitanya, there was an eclipse also, a lunar eclipse, and everyone was bathing in the Ganga, chanting the names of the Lord. Why? To counteract the effect of the eclipse. So, you know, so any eclipse like that, you can, it's not very auspicious, so you can counteract by this age by more chanting, more full engagement in devotional service. That time they went to the holy place. And there, everyone was received, and of course, you know, Krishna came forward and offered his obeisances and prayers to all the sages. And early on in the chapter, we stated there that the sages were very bewildered because they understood that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but here he was offering obeisances and prayers to the sages. So this is, so today we're very
stuck with wonder. But, you know, we have to understand Krishna's playing the part of an ordinary person in his Leela. Especially in his Krishna Leela, he plays the part of an ordinary person. Of course, every now and again he manifests his supreme opulence by killing the asuras and so on. But generally, just like Lord Ram, we just had Ram on here, and Lord Ram plays the part of the king of the world, although he is the supreme personality of God. But Krishna plays the part. And so he was shown how to offer respects to great saviors. And now Narad Muni took the opportunity, of course, to glorify Krishna and establish his position, lest there be any misunderstanding or confusion. And we shouldn't misunderstand that because Krishna is offering prayers. No, Krishna is offering prayers of obeisance to the sages. Obviously, sometimes we see that Krishna is offering prayers of obeisance to the demigods, to Lord Shiva, to Lord Brahma. But we shouldn't mistake to think that, well, Krishna is subordinate to them. He's just showing by example how one should give the respect. One should not disrespect. I'm just reading something from the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he was saying that one devotee should be very careful not to disrespect. They shouldn't disrespect any living entity, and especially they shouldn't disrespect great personalities, the devas, and so on and so forth, the Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, disrespect. And they should give their respect. So, now, the sages, of course, after the different performances of Yajna, to counteract the effect of the solar eclipse, they were preparing to go back. Apparently, some lived there, of course, and some had come there, from what we can understand here. Some had come there, and some had lived there, and well, even if they lived there, they had their different ashrams also. So, you know, you go to the area to do the yajna, and then, you know, after the yajna is finished, you go back to your ashram, or you go to wherever you actually live. So some of them were ready to leave, but Vasudev had come forward, and he was asking them to, please, I want to be freed from the burden of karmic reaction, I think. The verses describe this, that he was asking in this way. Of course, you know, Vasudeva is not an ordinary person. Devaki is not an ordinary person. They are special living entities who are eternally in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they appear in this world, you know, in Vasudeva and Devaki in their former lives. Who can remember who they were in their former lives? This was their third birth in the world, and formerly they were? Who can say? Prishni. Prishni was the Devaki, the Sutapa with the Vasudeva in their form, and they were praying for the Lord to come as their son, and of course Prishni Garba, the Supreme Personality of God, had appeared before them. They were performing great austerities. In the next life, they came back as who can say? Prishni and Sutapa, and? Who? Kasyapa and Aditi? To read the Krishna book. Kasyapa and Aditi, and? The Lord appeared as before them as Lord. No, it was Kadama Muni. Kasyapa and Aditi appeared before them as Lord Vamanadeva, and then they came back as and now they come back as Vasudeva and Devaki, the Lord appearing. I was just reading at New Govardhana, they're studying a little bit earlier on in the 10th canon of Srimad Bhagavatam, the actual appearance of the Lord. First of all, he came in the mind and heart of Vasudeva when he had glowing effulgence. Then the Lord transferred himself to the mind and heart of Devaki. Well, so many devas came and offered prayers, and they knew that the Lord was within the womb of Devaki. And then all of a sudden, after a certain period, he appeared outside of the womb of Devaki. He didn't take birth in an ordinary way. He appeared outside in his four-handed Vishnu form, fully dressed with nice dhoti and helmet and kastuba necklace and naka srivatsa and so on and so forth, or shankha chakra and padma gada. But Vasudeva at that time was struck with wonder that the acharya, especially Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, explained that he had four reasons to be struck with wonder. One, that he was Lord, you know, Devaki was pregnant with a child, and the Lord, all of a sudden, instead of appearing like an ordinary child, like a baby, he appeared as four-handed Vishnu. So he was struck with wonder. And he was struck with wonder that the Lord, even though Kamsa had killed the children previously of Devaki, had killed the previous children of Devaki, that the Lord just appeared in the prison cell of Kamsa. Kamsa had imprisoned Vasudeva Devaki in himself. But this Vasudeva struck with wonder. Of course, he was always worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all of a sudden he appeared to be born, so this was another reason he was struck with wonder. So there were so many reasons he was struck with wonder, but still he was thinking that he had a mixed emotion here. He knew that this was the Supreme Lord, but at the same time he was fearing that Kamsa was going to come and harm his son. And Devaki also, she was thinking that Kamsa was going to come, even though she knew that he was the Supreme Personality of God. It's still, see, that Vatsalya Ras, that parenthood, they still had a mixed emotion of fear of Kamsa, but at the same time enthusiasm and conviction of the position of the Supreme Personality of God. The Vasudeva and Devaki are not ordinary personalities. They are special personalities. The Lord appears as their son. They are in Vatsalya Rasa. Of course, he is the eternal son of he gives opportunity to so many to fulfill their desire in Vatsalya Rasa. God, you know, he comes as their son. So many times he comes as a son in different incarnations and some to different personalities, and fulfills their desire. In the Krishna Leela, Krishna Loka, so many are in Vatsalya Rasa and have a parental sort of attitude towards Krishna. And some of them, you know, some of them wish that they that Krishna were directly their son. So Krishna fulfilled their desire, some of them appear in the world, and he becomes their son in a particular leela. So Vasudeva is also, he is free from the reactions of karma. He is free. But he is taking the humble position. Also there is a certain tradition. There is tradition of, you know, when one is takes a twice born, that means the higher orders like the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas become twice born. They said once you become twice born, you get that initiation from the Guru, and then you're indebted to the forefathers, the ancestors, forefathers, the Devas, your parents. Parents' obligation is fulfilled when one has a child, and the forefathers by different yajna performances, and to the Devas. The Devas by yajna performance. But to the sages also, there's said to be three debts there, but the sages by observing brahmacharya. So the sages had said that, they have mentioned three debts that Vasudeva was already freed from, to the forefathers, and so on. And then, still, to be free from the debt one owes the Devas, because, you know, everyone is born in the world, and, you know, all these things are provided for us, the light and the weather, all the different weather, all the different functions of Devas perform, so one's indebted to them. So to fulfill that debt, one has to do certain types of yajnas. Now it is said that if one doesn't, someone who takes second initiation and doesn't fulfill that debt, then in the next life he has to undergo a very hellish existence and suffer for not fulfilling that debt. Especially, you know, twice born means you initiate it and you learn about these things and you live a certain life, and still you know about, you know what the situation of living in the world is, you know what your obligations are, and still you don't do anything, so especially you're going to get a little bit of reaction and have to suffer a hellish situation. So generally the Brahmanas and all the Kshatriyas, we know Vasudeva and Devaki and the royal order, the royal family, but they wanted to, Vasudeva was wanting to fulfill. Of course he really didn't have any debt to repay, because you know, he was the father of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was directly rendering service to Krishna. So one who is rendering service to the Supreme Lord, there is no debt. Devashi Bhutapriminam Pichinam Nakinkunanayam Vichara Savatmana Sarapanam. There's one verse. One's who's taken up direct, who's taken shelter of Kato Mukundam Mukunda, the giver of liberation. He is no longer Devashi. The rishis, the sages, the forefathers, you know, the devas, he's no longer indebted to them. So one who's taken up devotional service to Krishna is no longer indebted, because they are his servants, they are Krishna's servants. They are Krishna's servants. And when you please the master, automatically the servants are already satisfied. So no need to separately do it. But anyway, just to show an example that, especially for those in Varnashram, and those in Varnashram, many of them may not be directly devotees of Krishna. May not be directly devotees of Krishna, but they're following Varnashram. And if you're following Varnashram, you're following the different your specific duties according to Varnashram. And in that will be samskara, purificatory, and also performance of different rituals and yajna. So some of those yajnas will be the, as mentioned here, the sages want to do the Dasha Purnamasa, Jyoti Stoma. Here it's explained that these types of yajnas are called Prakriti, original yajnas, and other yajnas are secondary. In other words, these are yajnas that are mentioned directly, and the procedures to be followed are mentioned and explained. Other yajnas are, the word used, are extrapolated. The procedures are extrapolated from the instructions on how to perform these original yajnas. So these are very important yajnas. And Prabhupada explains that these types of yajnas, Jyoti Stoma, Dasha Purnamasa, especially mentioned, are meant for worship of the devas, elevation to higher planetary systems, secondly, Agnihotra and Ashwamedha Yajna. A lot of these yajnas, they're animal sacrifices, but the animals are sacrificed to, the Prabhupada explains, to test the potency of the mantras, not as an actual offering to the devas, offering of the cow, offering of the horse, or other animals. So a lot of them are animals, but the animals are sacrificed to test the power of the mantra, and they go in the fire and they come out with renewed life, new life. Now, in the Kali Yuga, Ashwamedham Gavalam Balasanyasam Palapatrikam Devarin Sukhapatim Kalo Panchavibhaja, these yagyas, like the Ashwamedha, the cow, the yagya, offering the cow, offering the horse, all these are forbidden, not allowed in the Kali Yuga. what is mentioned as the yajna for the Kali Yuga? Sankirtan yajna. What is that verse? Yajna Sankirtan abhay yajantihi sumir saha. Yajna Sankirtan. This is the yajna prescribed for Kali Yuga. These other yajnas are forbidden, actually. Ashvamedham Gavalamma Sanyasapalapatrikam Devarinya Kulopancha Vivaje. These are forbidden, the animal sacrifices. The animals are put there for specific reasons, just the power of the mantra scan. And they come out with new renewal. Now, in the Vedic Shastras, there's there's mentioned that on some of the yagyas, an animal, some lower animal can be offered if you want to eat the flesh of the animal, of the goat and other similar type, but only on the dark moon, or once a month on the dark moon. And you can offer to Kali. It's like in Calcutta they have the Kaliya. They still do. On the dark moon. Dark moon, so no one actually sees much of it. So the dark moon, and then you chant, do a yagya, and you have a certain mantra, you chant the ear of the animal, actually. Just as I'm taking your life, and then in the future you can have the opportunity to take my life. So really, when you think about it, I mean, is that what you want to do? But if someone is very attached to taking the flesh, he can do like that. But only once a month. But now, you know, they're in the name of, you know, following the Vedic instruction and the different types of animal yagya, they're doing regularly, so many times in a day. And slaughtering all types of different animals. Just in Indonesia, in Bali, the priests, you know, they have all these different yagyas and ceremonies, and they slaughter animals. They slaughter cows even. Gavalambya yagya. And they justify it by saying that these are mentioned in the Shastras. But, as I said, Ashvamedham Gavalamba. These are forbidden in Kali Yuga. And not only that, the offering of the horse or the offering of the cow, these higher animals, are not done and so you can eat the cow and eat the horse. Or eat any other thing. They're done is to test the power of the mantra. Now, other animals can be offered for those who are addicted to eating flesh, like a goat or a lower animal, only on the dark moon, once a month, to demigod Durga or Kali or something. And then you take them, and a certain procedure has to be there. But, you know, the problem was, and that's why Lord Buddha came to preach against the whole Vedic process. Because this was abused. This was abused, and in the name of following the Veda, they were slaughtering so many animals. And it was all yagyik, the prasadam, or the yagya. You know, many of the devotees in Bali have complained to me, oh, in the village, you know, there's so many ceremonies, and big temple ceremonies where they do that we have to go to them. You know, if we don't go to them, we're looked down upon, we're sometimes ostracized, or sometimes, you know, it's pretty strict over there that when you're in the village you're expected to attend all these ceremonies. I said, well, you know, you can go there, but you know, but for that part you can leave, don't stay for that, because they do get some pretty heavy repercussions for not attending. One devotee's house was stoned, actually. So I said, well, you can go, but try to avoid going to those particular ones where they're slaughtering the animals. We're preaching to them. And many of them are changing. Some of the old guard Brahmins are very attached to that. And they do these yagyas. Not so they charge a lot of money for doing these yagyas. And they distribute the prasadam. Of course, we know the devas don't eat the flesh. It's all taken by the Buddhas. The Buddhas and the Pratas and so on. they eat flesh. But the Devas themselves, they don't. So you're not getting any Deva prasad. What you're eating is the Buddha prasad. Durga, she doesn't eat. She doesn't eat. Kali, she doesn't eat. They're vegetarian. But the Buddhas, they have. They're the servants. Lord Shiva, Durga, they're very merciful to the Buddhas. They allow them to serve them, but they themselves are, you know, they are David's great demigods, very powerful. They themselves, they don't take. So, but anyway, these types of yagyas were there. Now, what's specifically mentioned here is that the these yagyas were done with the and the understanding that actually the chief beneficiary of these yagyas was the Supreme Personality of God and Lord Vishnu. One has to understand that it is Vishnu who is to be worshipped by the performance of these yagyas.
And when we worship in that way, so many devas can also be honored. And they are first Vishnu, and then the devas are, their mantras are chanted, and they're offered the prasadam of Vishnu through the mantra and everything like that. So these are the Vaishnava type of yagyas of doing these types of ceremonies. This is the Vaishnava way of doing. But others who do these ceremonies, they don't necessarily honor Vishnu. They are specifically doing to this deva or that deva or the other deva. So, kaimai stai sevita jnana prapanchantina devata tantamya mamasta prakritaniyata svaya. This is less intelligent, wrongful, because separately trying to worship the deva, that is not actually allowable under Vedic injunctions. This has been developed. Really, all the yagyas are meant for glorifying Vishnu, and the devas are participants in the yagya and recipients of the prasadam of Vishnu. Their prayers are chanted to them, and so on and so forth. So here the sages assemble at Kurukshetra for performing these yagyas like that. Now, it's mentioned here that Vasudeva and Devaki, all his wives, they had many wives, I think it's mentioned here, 18 wives. So in those days, the kings especially, used to have many wives. But they looked out, and it mentioned here, they all were very finely dressed, and with nice silk saris and all, you know. In other words, they were looked after very nicely. So a man in the ancient Vedic time could have more than one wife, but they had to be looked after very nicely. And generally, and the practice was, the first, you have to get the permission of the first wife to marry otherwise. Here it's mentioned that Devaki was the chief wife of Vasudeva. So the system was, the Vedic time in those days, Prabhupada has told us that now we can't follow that system. And it was generally meant for, that, even that system back then, was generally meant for the higher orders. And Prabhupada explains that because the population was more women than men, and also men, they were very strictly following Varnashram, so many of the men were like brahmacharis or sannyasis or anything like that. So there was a, so then some men married more than one wife to look after them and protect the women. But a man didn't marry more than one wife if he couldn't support the other wife. He'd take permission from the first wife. Everything had to be done in cooperation, and then he would look after the other wife very nicely. Even today in the Muslim society, they have the Muslims are allowed to marry more than one wife. In Indonesia, you have many Muslims have more than one wife. In Brunei, there the Shah of the, what's his name? The Shah of, I forget his name. The Shah of, is he called the Shah? He's called the Sultan. Called the Sultan of Brunei. Now, he has three wives, I think. But each one of them has got a palace, because he's a very rich man. Each one of them has a palace, actually has a palace. I saw the palaces. Huge. A palace. This one for that wife, this one for that wife, and then like that. So they had a palace in there, just like. And we know Krishna, of course, you know, he married so many wives, and he had so many queens, and each one of them also had a palace. So the man is supposed to, if you cannot look after, today, of course, if a man can look after one wife, that's a great feat. But I mean, look after them, you know, in so many ways. Emotionally, spiritually, and materially, you have to look after. That's the duty of a man. And of course, the woman has her duty to look after her husband. We know Lord Ram, we were just starting Ram Ram here in the beginning of the class, and saying that Lord Ram, he took the vow, ekapatni, one wife. He didn't have more than one wife. But actually, Prabhupada actually mentions there, so too in this age, we should also just have, we should follow the example of Lord Ram, only have the one wife. So I know that Prabhupada did say that, not just, he actually writes there in that purport there, but he said it many occasions. I know it many years ago, some of my god brothers were
who had read the read about in the ancient times that men were, you know, had more than one wife, and some of them were thinking to have more than one wife. Some of them did have more than one wife. I remember one fellow, when God, brother, he grew a big mustache and tried to be like a chappy or something like that, and then started to have more than one wife. But this, we had to point out to him that this is not actually right. So, you know, in this age, and proper instructors. You cannot, and legally in this country, you can't have more than one wife. In most countries of the world, only in the Islamic countries, probably, you're allowed to have legally more than one wife. Sometimes you see in Saudi Arabia and these countries, and in Indonesia also, you see a man and he's got, there's about three or four ladies all walking with him. It's all kind of like wrapped up, their eyes were, they were wrapped up in black, right? You see their eyes, they're all kind of walking along, right? So then you can understand that this is a man with his three wives, four wives, whatever the case may be. So, but they looked after very nicely, and it seemed, and as I said, they all get permission. The first wife has to give permission, and then the next wife comes, and then if there's another wife comes after the second wife, then both those two have to give permission. That's the activated system. And so the man would marry more because, as I said, in the times of the Vedic, there would be more women. Some many were brahmachari, vanaprastas, sannyasis. So what to do with the, especially the royal era. Sometimes brahmanas had more than one, but not so many of them. But many of the kings would have a lot. And sometimes vaishyas also, because they had a lot of money as well. So anyway, he came there with all his wives. And as mentioned here, he had a type of yajna diksha. He took initiation. This is initiation into the yajna, in a certain ceremony, a yajna diksha. So he did that. And he was wearing deer skin, and they were all dressed nicely and like that. So the Brahmins performed an initiation for him and his wives. Into the yajna, because he was the yajna was for his benefit. For his benefit. So that generally, whoever has benefit the yajna is performed in, he has to get initiated into the yajna. Now we don't so much follow that. I know in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, that's not so much a tradition. In the Sri Sampradaya, they do like that. In the Sri Sampradaya, maybe it's a lot. I know in the Sri Sampradaya, when they do a yajna, whoever's the beneficiary of the yajna gets initiated into the yajna. I don't know if that thing's any wrong in it, you know, but it's not really actually, we don't generally do that. But anyway, we see Vasudeva doing it. He accepted initiation into the yajna. And this yajna, all these yajnas as mentioned here, especially mentioned in the Kama Kanda section of the Vedas, elevation to higher planets, and so on and so forth. Pleasing the devas, of course they perform the yajna, pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and also pleasing the devas. Now in the Kali Yuga, these types of animal sacrifices are meant to be forbidden. So we are just performing Sankirtan yajna. This is our yajna, and we're not. Sometimes people become, especially those who are in the culture of Vedic culture, like in India, or perhaps in Indonesia, and the Hindu kind of countries where they follow a lot of these ceremonies, sometimes they complain a little bit to why we're not giving so much attention to these performance of following these ceremonies and performing these types of yajnas. As I said, you know, these many of these yajnas are forbidden. Not all the yajnas are animal sacrifice, not all of them, but many of them are. So that's forbidden in Kali Yuga for a start. And at the same time, even perform other yajnas. We perform the Agnihotra, and sometimes we perform other yajnas, different types of ceremonies, Japakama, Namkara, and all these different types of samskara type of ceremonies and yajnas. That we do, but our main focus is on Sankirtan Yajna. So Prabhupada, we have to be careful actually as devotees. Although, in the Vaishnava tradition, and even in the Gaudiya tradition, we can perform these yajñas in the samskaras and other yajñas. So Prabhupada never emphasized it that much. He never emphasized it that much because, used to understand from that Prabhupada was always concerned that the devotees become deviated somewhat from our main yajna, which is the Sankirtan yajna, and just become preoccupied with performing all these other types of yajnas. And I've seen it. I actually have seen it amongst our devotees. In Bali, I have to regularly tell them they're always performing one type of yajna, another type of yajna. Every other day there's some yajna going on. I said, yes, well, and it's almost like that they're looking to do these types of different types of yajna. I said, these yajnas are nice, but don't forget Sankirtan yajna. And Prabhupada, when we were doing whether it was a marriage yajna or initiation, he always had us chant. I remember the installation in Vrindavan of Krishna Balaram and some of all the deities there. And they got the Yasananda Swami got this big Brahmana from South India and all his assistants. Prabhupada said, well, we'll do like that, otherwise the people in Vrindavan won't think it's a bona fide ceremony, unless we do like if we just do chanting and just do it. So therefore, to get acceptance here, because at that time there was a bit of resistance to our presence there. So they brought them up. The Prabhupada insisted that kirtan go on. I think they did that ceremony for about 7 days. It was a very elaborate installation ceremony. They went for like 7 days. And Prabhupada insisted that 24-hour kirtan go on while the Brahmins, different points during the day, were doing these different types of rituals and ceremonies for the installation. Prabhupada insisted, I still remember having to do the kirtan 24-hour, remember we had the 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock session, and we'd switch around to 11 or 1 or something like that. So he insisted, and when we have our yajnas, Prabhupada always wanted kirtan, not doing it for kirtan. Generally in a yajna, at each corner you're supposed to have the Rig Veda chanted and the Samaveda and the Ajurveda. Prabhupada had us, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion, like that. He specifically said like that. Now you get this is the essence of the Veda. The essence of the Veda is in these books. So we are reading. So when we have a yajna, therefore someone over here is reading from Gita, someone over here is reading from Bhagavatam, someone over here is reading from Devotion. I remember Prabhupada specifically instructed, I remember that here, specifically said, no, these books. No need to, one corner Rig Veda, another corner Samaveda. And traditionally that was like that. Prabhupada said, no, we're doing like this. Kalapatradesha. This is also an instruction of the Shastras that, you have to do things, time, place, and circumstance, and these yajnas, the animal sacrifices, as I said, they're forbidden in the Kali Yuga. Not allowed to do them. Ashvarenam Gavalamba. Not allowed to do them. The people they're still doing. And they think that everything is bona fide, authorized to do them. But definitely no animal sacrifices. But even these other yajnas, we are doing in the Vaishnava home away and everything like that. So this is good, but always kirtan. And even if you don't do these yajnas, if you have kirtan, there is no deficiency. Understand that. Even if you can do these yajnas and you can have the kirtan, very nice. If you don't do the yajna and just have the kirtan, don't think that there's deficiency. So sometimes the people have complained, oh, why are you neglecting these things? Why you don't pay? You're paying, not paying enough attention to us. We are performing our Sankirtan yajna every day. And sometimes we're doing these other yajnas. And even if we don't do the other Sankirtan yajna, that is sufficient. Yajna Sankirtan apa yajante isumeda. So this is the, how's that verse up? Krishnavan. Yajna Sankirtan apa yajante isumeda. So this is the yajna. So anyway, Krishna was personally present. He came forward. All these queens were there. They came forward. And it's mentioned here how opulent and effulgent Vasudev looked. His wives were effulgent. Krishna was effulgent. His queens were effulgent. So you just imagine that, being in the presence Now we were reading at New Govanand about the appearance of Krishna, where Prabhupada explained that Vasudeva, when the Lord appeared as the forehand of Vishnu, he was illuminated not only by the effulgence of the Lord, because of course when the Lord manifests himself, there's so much effulgence there, but not only by the effulgence, but just by being in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was illuminated. He was illuminated. Just by being in the presence, just like, you know, when you're in the presence of a great person, you're illuminated within your heart, just by their potency. They don't have to say anything. Just if you're in the same, just like when Prabhupada was just eating prasadam or doing something, just to be in his presence, you feel illuminated. Within your heart is being purified. The Lord is manifesting so much in the heart of his pure devotee, the pure devotee himself. So that being in the presence illuminates your heart. So Vasudeva was illuminated in both ways, by the actual effulgence of the Lord, and within his own heart, just by being in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when we come in the temple room, we are in the same position. Here is Krishna, and we are in front of Krishna, taking darshan of Krishna. And we are illuminated just by being in the presence of the Lord. We are illuminated, we are purified. We become enlightened, actually. We become enlightened. In the presence when Prabhupada used to come, we felt much more Krishna conscious in his presence, and illuminated with the knowledge of Krishna consciousness than before. But just by being in the presence of a great personality, that's the effect. And therefore it is said that we should always try to seek the association and be in the presence of such great personalities. So at Kurukshetra, holy place, imagine the holy place. Of course, Prabhupada did say that everywhere there is the temple of Krishna, that is a holy place. But when you just come here, then you're just being here, you're purified within your own heart. And if you go to Mayapur Dham, Vrindavan Dham, in the presence of the Dham, in the presence of the deities, the presence of the great Vaishnavas, you're so much better that the heart is purified. You become enlightened from within, you become enlightened. And rendering devotional service is very important. Going to the Dham and rendering devotional service. Become Atasri Krishna Namini Dham Bhagavan Yidh Seva Mukhi Hidiva Seva Heva Spuratita. You know, there's a famous story of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta quoting this verse of the, who is that? I forget his name. The Vice Chancellor of the Banaras University came one time to visit Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and he wanted to ask him some. Questions on the Veda and Vedanta. And Bhaktisiddhanta asked what he said. No, you can ask the pujaris those questions. Mm. He said, no, this is a very intricate question. They won't be able to answer these questions. No, you'll see. You just ask. Please. So he did. He was a little bit submissive to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. He went there and the pujari said that just now we're cleaning the paraphernalia, the Lord's paraphernalia. If you want to wait, or if you want to help us. So then he did. Started cleaning the paraphernalia. Then after some time he came back to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and he said, so Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that. So were your questions answered? He said, the strange thing, when I was cleaning the paraphernalia, all the questions, the answers came into my own mind. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, ah yes. My Guru Maharaj would always quote Atasya Krishna Namadina Bhavagrana Seva Mukhi Diva Slavi Vispati. By rendering devotional service, all the senses, everything becomes purified when we become enlightened within. So you're going to the holy Dham in front of the Lord, associating with all the devotees, you're rendering service. How much purification, how much enlightenment you're going to have just by that activity. So here it is mentioned that Vasudeva had the priests execute all these primary yajnas and all the secondary yajnas, all these things here, technically prakrita type of yajna, and then a vaikrita, changed from the original. They're the original type of yajna, so this is a dasha purnamasa and the other one jyoti stoma. These are kind of the original yajnas, but he did them all and he had the priests do them all. free from the debt to the devas by performing yajna. But by being a devotee, we're absolved from all those debts. Deva Shibhutapta Ninam Pichinam Nikinkananayam Vinichana. This is Mukunda Parititikaratam. By one who serves Mukunda, giver of liberation, he has no more debt to the Deva, to the forefather, to the sages. Absolved. Because they are his servants also. So, don't worry. Vedas, now what's that verse? Don't think that when you perform devotional service you're bereft of the result of Vedishu, Jagyashu, Tapasu, Danushu, Vedic performance, Vedishu, Jagya, Tapa performance of Tapasya, Tapasu, Dana, charity. Any of these things, don't think, but by performing devotional service, all these things are accomplished and more. But you have to actually engage in devotional service. And for those who don't engage in devotional service, they have to do these things. They have to do these things. Otherwise, as I said, you get reactive, especially the twice born. The twice born, the Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, twice born, they don't repay their debt obligation, do these things, young years, and to the forefathers and all these things, then they will, in the next life they will have to undergo a hellish condition. They will get reactions, have to undergo a hellish condition. But those who are not doing devotional service to the Supreme Lord Krishna, they have to do these things very carefully. Those who are doing devotional service, they can do or not do longer than they are doing devotional service. Alright, I'll read this verse again. Tomorrow on to 52 we read a few verses. I'll read the last verse. Performing various kinds of Vedic sacrifice according to the proper regulations. Vasudeva worshipped the Lord of all sacrificial paraphernalia, mantras and rituals. He executed both primary and secondary sacrifices, offering oblations to the sacred fire and carrying out other aspects of sacrificial worship. Any questions?
Just a comment. I found out the other day that the devotees who were doing the samskaras here were being asked to do Buddha busting judges. I told them to stop it. You just don't know what kind of reaction.
Just chant Hare Krishna and that'll bust the Buddhas.
Yeah.
And not only bust them, but benefit them.
Yeah.
We don't have to. Prabhupada never encourages these things.
You
can do the samskaras. then you start getting all these other things. But if you want to benefit the Buddha, there's a story of Srila Bhakti Siddhartha, and he was, how was it? I forget. Risa somewhere. Maybe there was one back to that. But I'm thinking of one of Srila Bhakti Siddhartha. He was in the house and he was staying one brahmachari was late at night. There was just a dim light on it. Srila Bhakti Siddhartha was writing. And then all of a sudden one hand floated in through the window. It was like a skeleton hand by itself. With a hand came in. So the Brahmachari, so the Bhakti Siddhartha didn't look up. Then it came in again, went out, came in again. And then Brahmachari fainted. And then he woke up and so the Bhakti Siddhartha was standing over the top of him and he said, "Why are you so afraid? You're a brahmachari." This is just some Buddha. I chanted to him and his benefit, he's gone away. That's alright. They do that, the Buddhas, they're mischievous, they go to the cemetery and they dig up a hand or something like that. Then they come in and they walk around like that. Of course you can't see them, all you can see is the hands. But they like to frighten people. Come in and everyone goes, and they laugh. So nothing mysterious actually going on, but you know what's going on. Of course you can't see them, but some of them are quite malevolent also, malevolent. They can do some disturbance and some harm. Chan Hare Krishna. Don't worry about the Buddha Yagyas and all this type of thing. This is a big thing in Bali, Buddha, Yagya, God. Every house, everything. every street corner there's always an offering to the Buddhas. Of course, they kind of like they speculate a lot. You know, I have a look what's in the offering there, in the packet of cigarettes. Where's different packet of biscuits and cigarettes? I think the Buddhas would be very pleased by, you know, if you leave a packet of cigarettes out there. There's a lot of speculation going on. So, you know, so many countries, not only in Bali, but so many countries of Buddha worship. We don't have to worry. We'll chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna mantra. Any other comment or question? Yes?
When you mentioned about, you were talking about Kurukshetra.
Yeah.
We have got a very wonderful temple there.
Yeah.
And very nice deities.
In the town or where?
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. Death house and also their
That's the new one, right, isn't it? Now, the Jyoti Sar also, Gopal Krishnamurti said, we've got some land near there.
Yeah, I went there.
Yeah, you went there? Just is there anything on there?
Yeah, they've got it's a pretty simple structure they've got there, but they've got beautiful ground type.
Oh, I see. So there's I haven't been since they got the land.
They take that drone out for all of the others.
Okay. Is it right nearby?
Right next to the...
Wow.
The Jyoti, the kund is... The road comes like this, and the tree that they say that the Bodhi Gate is where comes on this side, right on the other side, right next
Mm-hmm. Well, Prabhupada always wanted it. He wanted the temple there. He wanted continuous Bhagavad Gita. So finally, we've got. Gopal Krishna was trying for years to try to get some land.
Yeah, they've got good spots there.
Good spot.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think they've also got land somewhere else that they're
going to
build a bigger temple in the
yeah.
town. Because
yeah.
the little temple
they've
got at
the
moment.
No, they've got the big temple now, isn't it? They just had the opening
of
Kurukshetra in the town, right?
Yeah.
You went there that one too? That's not so big. Oh, they want to make a bigger one, so.
Well, it's one of those whole wall kind of places that you find in India, down one of those.
Oh, that's the one I went to. But I heard that, maybe it's in the plan.
No, it's in the plan.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to go
there. Not yet.
No.
Jai Bhagavashya Sula Prabhupada
Ki. Jai. 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 Jai.